You have your Bibles tonight, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You're thinking, wait a minute, that's not the Christmas story. Christmas story's in Matthew and Luke. What is there in John? It doesn't start with the birth of Christ. You are correct, it does not. But what we'll look at this evening is the subject of the true light. John chapter 1, verse 4 says, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Our text comes from verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The true light is what we'll look to tonight. Help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have the opportunity to gather around your word. We're mindful of why we're here. I pray you'll help us to hear from you. Help our thoughts and attentions be put upon your word tonight. Not what I have to say about it, but simply what it says. Speak to us through it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we consider the birth of our Savior, and as we light candles here in just a little while, I want us to think about the light from the candle, first of all. How that light, albeit a tiny little light, if we have all the lights out in here and when we light the first candle, now we're not going to cut all the light out, but if we were to do that, it would be amazing. Everybody knows this. When you light that one candle, how much light there is. They say that light and darkness, even the Bible indicates that light and darkness can't be in the same place. If you have light, there is no darkness. The absence of light is darkness. And so the importance of the principle of light and that Jesus was the light is critical for us. The candle, and more specifically the light from that candle, represents a number of things in the Bible. Now remember, Bible times, they didn't have electricity, they didn't have the ability for artificial light. Everything that they had was created light. And in the Old Testament tabernacle and temple, and even though the church today is not the same as then, I think we can draw some similarities. And so that Old Testament tabernacle and the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel, as they moved about for 40 years. And then when Solomon eventually built the temple and the light and the furniture from the movable, portable wilderness tabernacle was placed into the temple and inside the veil, there was only one item of light within that holy place. And that was the golden candlestick. The golden candlestick represented Christ, not only as the light to a lost and dying world, but more specifically as the light for the believer to guide us in our life. And even though that we're to point people to the light, and we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes, part of the light that Christ represents is for us as his children. When the high priest would go in, or when the priest would go into the outer holy place, the outer part of the tabernacle, the structure itself. And then the high priest would go in once a year into the Holy of Holies to make atonement, as it were, for the sins of the people. When they came in, they lit the candles, the only light in the room. And it was representative then for us. It shows us, we'll see from the New Testament here in a couple of minutes, the responsibility the child of God has in being a light to point people to the light. Jesus came to chase, as some say, the darkness away. That's why he's called the light, the darkness of sin in this world. He's given to us as believers the responsibility to carry that light to this darkened, blackened world. There is coming a time where the light will once again be the only light source needed for believers And we'll end with that. We look in the book of Revelation and see that the Lamb is the light there. In our text before us, we find that he came to bring light. Verses 4 and 5, he is the source of the light. In him, it says, was life. And the life, his life, was the light of men. Physically, he brought life in creation. The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians that by him all things exist and all things consist. He is not only the creator, he's the sustainer. But spiritually, he is the life in our new birth as Christians when we put our faith and trust in Christ, in him, in Christ, as the source of life. In verse 5, when light shines, darkness flees. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Light disperses darkness. It doesn't absorb it. And darkness doesn't absorb the light. Some describe it that way. It isn't that way. The darkness, as we would understand it, is chased away, flees from the light. You know, there's a couple of words in the book of James that give us an idea here. Even for believers, it says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist him. Push against him. Fight against him. Chase him away, as it were. How do we do that? With the light. We'll see in not necessarily in this message, but the Sunday we come back would be the first Sunday of the new year of January. We'll make a couple of comments in the evening message about the Word and the light of the Word and the importance of the Word of God. It's necessary we have that. The light of Christ, the light of the gospel of Christ, is seen as running darkness off and replacing it. Sunday I read a verse out of 2 Corinthians 4, and let me read it again tonight. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The light of the glorious gospel. We have the light in us through the Holy Spirit's regenerating power, and we are to demonstrate that light to others. Notice what it says, and the darkness comprehended it not. It didn't receive it. It didn't lay hold of it. When Jesus came to take away the sins of the world, the darkness, those in darkness is what's represented here, didn't comprehend it. They didn't receive it. In fact, not only did they not accept it or receive it, they turned away from it. You can look down in verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Then verse 12, this is for us. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's us. Turn a couple of pages to John chapter 3, and verse 19 and 20. The first several chapters of the Gospel of John are precious to us. I know we have the book of Romans in print form back there on the track rack, and we have some out on the table, and we assemble the Spanish Romans here to send to countries that's their language, their national language. And we use them here in the States for people that's their first language as well. But when I was with Fellowship Track League years back, and we helped people get tracks to other countries and mission fields, that they would oftentimes incorporate the gospel tracks with a lot of other printed material. And one of the printed materials that we sent along quite often was John and Romans. Not just Romans, but John and Romans. And I think that John, the Gospel of John, is one of those books in the Bible that we should all be familiar with. It's got precious truth. Look at verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They simply didn't receive it. They didn't comprehend it. Then back in chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8, the sharing of the light. John the Baptist was one that bore witness of the light, that presented Christ to the world. And he was the kind of the forerunner of missions in a way. His goal was to point people to light. He said, I'm not that light. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness to bear witness to that light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Matthew 5:16 says that we are the light of the world, but we're only the light of the world because of the greater light that we bear witness to, just like John the Baptist did. We're the light because we're the only, and I know there's some problems with this analogy or metaphor, but I have a better one. We're at times the only Jesus some people will ever see. I've said before too, as well as others, we're the only Bible some people will ever read. In fact, the Apostle Paul referenced, that I think is the church at Corinth or the church at Colossae, one of the two, that they were his epistle. The people were. The saints were. And they were seen and read of all those around. We have a responsibility to share the light, just like John the Baptist did. We still have that responsibility to make his light shine. There's a verse in Philippians, if you would, turn over there, if you have your Bibles, in Philippians chapter 2, there's a verse here. It's right after the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 also mentions light. In verse 15, it says that, well, verse 19, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Notice there's a colon there, and this is why we're to do things without controversy and conflict and complaining. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Notice what it says next. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We have a responsibility to share the light. And we go back to our text in John chapter 1, verse 9. We find the sufficiency of the light. Jesus is seen as the true light. This is speaking of his perfection, of his truth, both living and written. He is the truth. He is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He has enough light to shine on all. And if it will be, as the verse earlier, comprehended, then salvation is given. If it's received, there's enough light in Christ for every person that's ever been born, from Adam and Eve in the garden till the last person born to the millennial reign of Christ, to be saved. That's what it means. That light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The light shines, but many don't comprehend it. They don't receive it. They don't accept it. They reject it. Turn back to Matthew chapter 5. I've already referenced this verse, but let's look at it. Matthew chapter 5, not only in our text, John 1, 4 through 9, he came to bring the light, but we're to carry the light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, and again, this is Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount, as it's called. He very simply tells the disciples that are gathered there, the apostles, and keep in mind the audience of the Sermon on the Mount, yes, there was a great crowd there. But the primary audience of his sermon were the 12 apostles. They sat down, verse 1, seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. When he had set, was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So although there were a lot of people that heard the message, this was given for 12. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And he said in verse 16, let your light so shine. Just like that candle lights a house, just like that city on a hill can't be hid, So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I don't know if any of you, I'm going to make a presumption here that none of us have been in a spaceship out far enough in space to look back and see the earth. Now, I could be wrong. I don't know enough about everybody here to know that, but I'm going to take that assumption, and I could be wrong. But nonetheless, I've not been, and I don't think my wife has either. I say that because I didn't meet her until she was, 18, 19, 20, I don't remember. I can do the math, but I don't want to right now. But I'm going to guess that she hasn't been out far enough. But you can do this now. You can go on Global Earth, and you can zoom out, and you can look. They have shots of it all the time. You can see the cities from space in a grand scheme, in a grand way. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Light can be seen. Light needs to be seen. You know, we sing the little kid song, "This Little Light of Mine." Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Where to carry the light? Light is necessary. Without light, there's only darkness. It's not optional. It's essential for life, for direction, for salvation. Where Christ's light is absent, darkness reigns. Where his light shines, darkness gives way. And you can find pockets of the earth today, parts of the earth today that are dark. You don't have to go very far. There's a lot of dark places in our country. You don't have to go to another country. You don't have to go overseas. You don't have to cross a border. Darkness seems to be closing in. Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Light's necessary. Light's precious. It's valuable because of what it gives. It gives life, direction, safety, gives hope. That which delivers us from darkness is not merely useful, it's precious. I don't know if I've given, I think I've mentioned it before, but former prisoner behind the Iron Curtain in the Soviet Union back in the strong days of it, in the 40s and 50s, 60s. One of the torture techniques they used on him was darkness. They would put them in a dungeon and they would allow no light in. And most people, if that were to happen, most people would go blind by the time they come out. And if they weren't blind, they say after 30 days or so of that kind of darkness, you can't recover. You will go literally insane. Neither happened to him. He said it's as if God lit the room up. Light is precious. Light is sought after, especially for those in darkness. Light attracts those who know they're in darkness. God's word and Christ himself shines as a guiding light until the full day dawns. As it says in 2 Peter 1:19, "As unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star riseth in your hearts," until salvation comes. Then turn to Revelation 21. We'll look at a couple more verses and we'll be done. He will be the light for eternity. You know, if you've read through the Bible, if you've memorized any scripture, if you've been in church very often, then you have verses, scripture that means a lot to you, or that you consider your they have just a great deal of meaning. Your favorite verse. Now, mine changes. And you don't have to have a lot of church background to have this either. I grew up different than a lot of people and had a lot of privileges growing up and being raised the way I was. And so I got to hear the Bible preached. I got to read a lot of scripture and did my best to memorize. I can't remember like I used to, but that's okay. If you haven't figured out by now, some of my favorite texts of scripture are the last verses in the Bible. The end of the book of Revelation. Revelation 21 verse 23 says this: "And the city had no need of the sun," speaking of the New Jerusalem, our residence. neither of the moon to shine in it. And we have absolutely no concept of this. And we won't till we get there. We can't think outside of that box of our universe, of our biology, of our physiology, of things that make us who we are. We can't think outside of that. It's not possible. So trying to figure out how anything can be lit without the sun, we can't comprehend. That's the wonder of it. It says, for the glory of God did lighten it. Same glory that was in the tabernacle and in the temple in the Holy of Holies when the high priest went in. You say, well, what lit that? The glory of God. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. And here's one of my favorite lines in the Bible. For there shall be no night there. Not only will there not be sorrow and tears and pain and agony, there will be no night. I heard a guy introduce a song one time. He said, and I don't remember the whole introduction, but the one line I do remember, he said, you know, Enoch, he walked with God. The Bible tells us he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And he said, they were walking along one day and God said to Enoch, well, why don't you come home and spend the day with me? Enoch said, okay. And so they went home with God to spend the day, and they're still spending the day because there's no night there. Now, I don't know the theology of that. I don't know if that's how it worked. Probably didn't necessarily work that way, but it gives us an idea of what it is. In that coming day, there will be no need for the sun or the moon to give light, for God himself and the Lamb will light the city. Look over to chapter 22, verse 5. It says it again, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. No darkness, no evil, no harm of any kind. They'll need no candle, no light from the sun. For every earthly limitation will be gone. The Lord God himself will be light, will give light. And his presence will be all that is ever needed for all of eternity. That was guaranteed in an event that took place nearly 2,000 years ago in a stable in a little town called Bethlehem. When baby Jesus was born and laid in a manger so we could have light, so we could be saved. We're to point people to that light, so they can spend eternity with that light in all its wonder. Sadly, though, the vast majority of the world has no room in their heart for Jesus. As Bethlehem had no room for them, the world still has no room for him. I came across this years back. Once more, observe the earthly conditions. There was not room for them in the inn. What was the inn? When we read that, we may think the reference was to a... Now, this was written by somebody in England. Was to a caravansary or a hostel. Or, in our understanding here, in a hotel, in a motel. That's not the meaning of inn. There are two words that are both translated in the New Testament. One does mean a place with a host and provisions and rooms, a hotel. But there's another word, the one used for Bethlehem. It was merely an enclosure, just walls into which travelers might drive their cattle for the night, and in which sometimes there were rooms in which they themselves might rest, but no traveler could obtain food there. There was water, always water, because there were animals. But no food, no host, no entertainment. There was no room even there. That's what it said. There's no room for them in the inn. There wasn't even room in that inn. Even in the enclosure for cattle, no room. So what happened? In that supreme hour, which permits of no delay, they had to find some outhouse to a dwelling, and there the baby was born, and the mother laid him in a manger. No palace, no dwelling place, no room even in the inn. He was born outside everything, even the place where cattle might be sheltered through the night. He was born and laid in a manger in some bleak outhouse outside some dwelling. So he came. The glory of it, the wonder of it. When he came, he passed the court, passed the palace, passed the dwelling place, passed the inn, passed the barn, and was born into this world so low down that no baby can ever be born lower. That's how Jesus was born. So that he could taste everything we could. In just a minute, we're going to stand together and light our candles. As we do, remember this. We're not the light. We bear witness to the light. May the light of Christ shine in us, through us, until the day when he himself is our everlasting light. Let's pray.